Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I'm very pleased to have back on the air after too long an absence, to tell you the honest truth, Cornerstone Landing's Terry Lee Kelford. Terry Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thanks, Bob.
It is it's good to have you here, and you're joined today by Maureen Running from the Canadian Federation of University Women. Maureen, welcome to Lake 88.
Thank you, Bob. I'm happy to be here.
I'm very pleased to have you both here because you're talking today about a wonderful cause. You're talking about the coldest night of the year, which is an awareness event for homelessness and youth homelessness. And Terry Lee, maybe you can tell us a little bit in broad strokes what the coldest night of the year is about and give us a little bit of history.
Sure. Yeah, it's an event that we started participating in 5 years ago. So this is our fifth year. And it's actually a national event that brings awareness and fundraising opportunities to organizations that are working on homelessness across Canada. So I believe there's over 130 communities in Canada that participate. And it happens on the same day, February 26th, or that weekend, whatever that weekend falls on, every year. And essentially, it's a walk. It's a walk and it's a fundraiser. And it's an opportunity to bring awareness to the community about homelessness.
How long have you been doing it in our area, in Lanark?
Yeah, so this would be our fifth year doing it. We hosted it the first 2 years in Perth, 3 years in Perth, or sorry, in Smith Falls, an event. And then we had, of course, COVID. We didn't do an event. And then, so this year we were fortunate enough to have the Canadian Federation of University Women offer to do an event for us in Perth. So we're extremely excited and grateful that they have offered to do that for us. So
it's great that it moves around a bit too, because the visibility is a big part of it.
Yeah, we wanted it to be a countywide event as opposed to a town event. And because our organization obviously is countywide as well. So it's been nice to actually, the virtual element has actually been very helpful for us because we're rural and because we're a large county. It's nice to have the event so people have that option of coming to the in-person. But if you can't make it to the event, there's now a second option to be able to walk virtually as well. So yeah, it's been nice to move it around and have that flexibility.
Yeah, because the issues that you're walking for, they don't have borders within towns.
No, everywhere. Townships, towns, everywhere. It's right across the county. Yeah.
And maybe you can tell us specifically what the event is raising money for.
Yeah, so we actually pledged 5 years ago that the funding from this, or the proceeds from this event, would go to help us buy a house or build a house. And so the first house we built, obviously, was the tiny home. So we have that completed. And then just last year, we were really excited to be able to purchase our first house in the town of Perth. So we now have a house that offers three transitional beds for youth. And we're in the process of building a secondary unit that's going to be a one-bedroom affordable unit. And then we're going to use the tiny home, hopefully, as a bachelor unit as well. So, so all the proceeds from this event has gone to actually building or buying housing for kids.
Maureen, why did the Canadian Federation of University Women get involved? First off, you folks are involved in so much in the community, and it is really a wonderful organization. You're doing so much to help at-risk youth. Education is a big cornerstone to what you do. I guess this is just one of those issues and one of those events that just sort of fits into your wheelhouse.
Absolutely, Bob. We actually became involved a couple of years ago. The Social Justice Committee of CFUW made homelessness, the issue of homelessness, a priority. And so we found that we learned more about the wonderful work that Cornerstone Landing is doing and met Terry Lee and became involved with the walk in Smith Falls. And we were really happy to be helping in that way. And then last year it was virtual and we were able to make that an exciting event, even though we weren't able to come together again. People really got on board and did their walking in small groups in their bubble, and then posted pictures, and we raised twice as much money as we had the year before. So this year we're really feeling privileged to be able to offer the in-person walk in Perth, and we're really looking forward to hosting that.
It's really such a pressing issue. Affordability of housing and homelessness. You tie the two together because they do go hand in hand in many cases. There are certain cases where they do not, and I recognize that. But really, it is one of those issues that so many different organizations have recognized as being vital, and there are so many that are working towards either eradicating it or making it something that isn't as pressing, isn't the central issue that people are facing. Maureen, did you folks take into consideration some of just the local temperature when it comes to housing when you made the decision to really pursue this?
Definitely. You know, the issue is becoming more and more prominent because it's more and more serious. And we have a lot of different community groups that are working to make improvements to the issue. And so we recognize the need to reach out and try to make connections with those groups. And that was one of the things that we've been trying to do as well. So it is an issue that's dear to all of our hearts. And we're hoping that we can affect some change through raising the profile of the problem and doing something to actively relieve the issue.
Terry Lee, I think it's important that people remember too that your organization isn't just for teenagers. You're looking at young adults as well. And I think when people hear that, they realize that the scope of the issue becomes much larger because you're talking about kids who aren't necessarily in school. You're talking about young adults struggling, trying to make ends meet, and then of course trying to find a place to live. And in Lanark County right now, that is a tall order, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, I started talking about this issue 24 years ago in Lanark County, and it's just steadily grown into a crisis. So, you know, alarm bells were ringing several years ago. So, and it's a hard train to pull back after it's gotten this bad. So, and I think everybody is desperately trying to find solutions and scrambling, but it certainly has gotten very dire in the last year or two with the increasing house prices and rental prices. So we used to offer kids, you know, $50 a week for rent supplements, and now we're, you know, trying to find $300 to $400 a month to help with rent supplements. So, you know, a bedroom used to rent for $450, it now rents for $800, just a room rental in a house. So finding a single apartment for a single person is virtually impossible these days. So, and people are so desperate, I think, that people are often renting outside of their means as well, because what else are they supposed to do? Sleep outside. And so, you know, if they find a place, they can get it, they take it. And then we're working with them as an agency, constantly trying to keep them housed. So it's not just helping them find housing, it's maintaining the housing after that. So, so we work with young kids who are 16 to 24. We're pretty evenly split between the sort of 16 to 19 range and the 19 to 24 range. But, and we've also been supporting kids now for 6, 7, 8 years. And so some of those kids have stayed with us almost that long. And so, and we don't just cut people off because they're now 24 years old or 25 years old. So there are some young people that we're supporting after that age as well. But we'd love to help more, obviously, but with limited funds, we do our best to support the youth. I call them kids. I shouldn't call them kids because you're right. They are young adults as well. So many having graduated high school and, you know, trying to secure jobs and maintain housing at the same time.
I think that's a big important point too, is that people that you're helping, whether they've come to you or been directed to you in a different way, they want this to improve. They're not looking for a handout. They want their lives to improve, and housing is a huge part of that.
Yeah, you know, housing first is the philosophy that we adopted years ago quite successfully for Cornerstone. And the idea behind that is that people are entitled, they have a right to housing. And from there, once you house them, you provide them with the supports they require. We used to do it backwards. We used to say to people, well, you know, graduate high school, get a job, you know, get clean and sober, and then we'll give you housing. But that's really impossible to do from the streets. You really have to have a stable, safe, secure home to come home to be able to do all of those things you need to do, including graduate high school. So, so we find once the kids have secure housing, again, calling them kids, but young adults and youth, you know, they really do take off. And so, you know, the amount of support that we provide young people can be years, but it can also be very short term. Lots of young people, once they get some housing, they're stabilized and they've got the income to maintain it. They really just take off on their own and they'll say, okay, we'll be in touch when we need you. So, and that's great. We love that. So, and we have an open door policy so they can always come back to us to get support. But yeah, we have to provide housing to everybody so that they can move on with their lives and do all the things they need to do to be successful.
What's awesome too is it's not just about, you know, getting them lined up for the housing and so on and then saying, okay, good luck. It's teaching them how to do things like manage their monthly budget so that they don't become homeless again, and so that they can strive to reach goals that in many cases they probably never thought were even possible.
Yeah, I think the support piece was really, was really crucial for us during the pandemic as well, because we did a survey really early on with our clients about the impact of the pandemic, and we were really curious to see what impact it was having on them. And certainly, you know, lots of young people lost their jobs right away, places closed, and so they lost their jobs. So then, of course, they were worried about being able to pay for their rents, and so then we were scrambling to try to find rent supplements and top ups for young people because they were starting to get behind really quickly. Access to internet and technology was a big factor. So a lot of the services went online, and so young people, if they wanted to see their counselor, had to be able to do it by video. If they wanted to talk to an Ontario worker, they had to do it by video. And so it was really hard by phone. And so a lot of young people didn't have access to computers, to full-time internet. They'd have to use Wi-Fi in stores. And so the snowball sort of trickle effect of that was quite profound for a lot of young people. So our staff were, you know, running around in vehicles outside with young people using their technology and phones, trying to help people connect to services and, you know, and access the things they needed during the pandemic. So some young people got kicked out of rooming houses because they didn't want multiple people in the house anymore. And so, yeah, it was quite a profound impact. So that support piece was crucial during the pandemic, to have the staff able to go and support people based on what their needs were at the time.
Maureen, what are you feeling when you're hearing all of this? I know you're well aware of what's going on. You've been involved in this for a while, and it's nothing new to you. But just to hear it over again and to realize that these are the struggles that are facing our young adults and youth out there. How do you feel?
Well, I feel an even more urgent sense of need to be involved and to do everything we can to change the situation. So, you know, I think the time is now to act. I think we have more and more people in the community, in our community and the other communities in Lanark County, who are feeling that we've waited long enough. We want to see some changes, and they're prepared to get involved in whatever way they can to make those things happen. So I feel like even in from the response that we're getting for our event on the 26th, I feel like people are ready to make a commitment to do something.
Do you feel not enough people know about just how bad it is? Homelessness is something that we've been hearing about all our lives. And really, a lot of people may think, well, it's not happening so much in my backyard. But as we know, with homelessness in Lanark County, a lot of it has to do with couch surfing. And, you know, it's not as visible as if you were in downtown Toronto or downtown Ottawa, where you can actually see the kids on the street. Do you think there's that kind of an attitude that goes around in Lanark? And that's the reason why events like this one are so important?
Yeah, and I do think that perhaps because the housing crisis has now touched the middle class, all of a sudden people are having an aha moment and saying, oh my gosh, if it's that hard for us to find housing, what must it be like for people who have less money than we do and less options than we do? And so I think that, you know, things have changed in terms of people's attitude. They're much more willing to get involved because they realize it can happen to anyone.
Isn't it terrible that that's what it takes? Because it's like, you think not in my backyard until it's, you know, in your neighbor's backyard, and you can sort of look over the fence and say, well, there it is. Maybe we should do something about this.
Yeah, I think it's part of human nature not to want to think about unpleasant things. So we tend to just bury them until we can't ignore it any longer. But we have to look forward to seeing some real progress being made in the next little while. So I think that's the way we need to be thinking.
I think it's really interesting too, Terry Lee. You mentioned earlier that this is something that you've been working on for decades, and it's something that has always been there. Organizations like yours are becoming more and more important every single day in the public eye. But really, that importance has been there since day one, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think you probably know, Bob, as an advocate, I have a hard time not saying I told you so.
Yeah.
The odd time.
Yeah.
I try not to say it too often. But because I do support Maureen in the notion that, well, both of your points, I think the fact that it's affecting higher income brackets is creating more awareness, which is a great thing. And we have to ride that wave. We have to use that attention and conversation and energy to get some solutions accomplished. I think we have to increase our stock of affordable housing and social housing. We have to find more funds and resources and have more support for that from the community to be able to actually address this issue in the long term. I don't want to see us end up helping people of the higher income bracket without also solving the homelessness issue. And I often have that conversation when I'm speaking to council. There's two conversations that are sort of happening that sometimes get separated. There's the conversation of affordable housing. There's a conversation of homelessness. And homelessness requires a great deal of support that doesn't get talked about often when we talk about affordable housing. So that's a concern of mine as an advocate, that we don't lose sight of those two pieces, that we need housing and we need supports. Again, I think Maureen is correct. We have to ride the energy and use this to get some tangible solutions accomplished and use the energy in the conversation that's happening for the positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank goodness there's groups like the Canadian Federation of University Women. We said it right off the top. You folks have been involved in initiatives like this for many, many years. You're not jumping on any sort of bandwagon in community assistance. You've been there for a long time. And everybody that you've assisted, I'm sure, is incredibly grateful and will never forget it. It's really a wonderful thing that is happening with the coldest night of the year and all of the supports that you're giving, Maureen. So I don't want to give you the impression that I was saying you're only doing this because I know that is certainly not the case with you and the Canadian Federation of University Women. I was speaking as society in general. You know, we get to see these things a little bit closer to home, and then it makes us really start to think and wonder. So again, it is great that you are doing this. And Maureen, one of the things that you really wanted to let people know is that if you can't walk, if you can't take part in the virtual event, then there's other ways that you can help this cause. If we've struck a chord with anything that we've said today, there are other ways that people can make a difference. And Maureen, you wanted to tell people how they can do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that the virtual option is still there. So if people are not comfortable getting together in a large group to walk, or for any reason don't feel that they can come to Perth to walk, they can still walk at a time in a place that's convenient for them, either by themselves or with their COVID bubble. And they can still fundraise by going online and registering as an individual walker or registering a team to do a virtual walk. And if they are not interested in actually walking, they can go online and make a donation, which would be greatly appreciated, either to any of the 15 teams that have signed up for Lanark County or to the CFUW Perth and District team that's here in Perth. They can make a donation to an individual walker if they want to support someone in particular. All the money ends up going to Cornerstone Landing, which is the main thing. If people are not able to donate, they can just spread the word. They can encourage other people to get involved, and they can become more aware of the issue of homelessness and the work that Cornerstone Landing is doing, and look for ways to maybe support Cornerstone Landing in the future. So there are lots of things. There's something for everybody. Everybody to get involved in some way. So we're really encouraging people to do that, and we're really, really pleased with the response from everybody so far. It's amazing to see how enthusiastic people have been about this event.
Absolutely. We're going to put that link up on our website and through our social media when we share this this interview as well. CNOY.org/location/Lanark County. It just, perfect. You know, it just spills off the lips, doesn't it? It's just one of those easy to remember links. We'll put it up for you at lake88.ca after this. And Terry Lee, when it comes to the coldest night of the year, any final words you'd like to share?
Well, the fun part is seeing it grow every year. I think it helps to have organizations obviously help organizations like Cornerstone Landing. So when a group like the Canadian Federation of University Women jumps in to help out an organization like ours, I don't think they realize actually how much of an impact it has for us as an organization. It's huge. So their ongoing involvement has been really helpful to us. And it's fun to see it grow every year as a result. So I send out emails periodically to the workers and the team members and just give them a bit of a pep talk to say, you know, you're breaking records every year. So we're a couple thousand dollars ahead of where we were last year on this event. And we've got about four more teams registered this year than we had last year. So it's fun to see it grow every year. And it's a great event, again, because you can do it anywhere in the county if you want. You don't have to come to Perth. It's a great little team building. And it's safe. It's outside. It's a walk. It gets people outdoors. It's a great conversation and a community builder for sure.
Now, many people are recognizing the wonderful work that is being done by Cornerstone Landing, and that has been done, and they recognize the need. One of the groups that is certainly recognized that is one that's near and dear to our hearts here at Lake 88, and that would be the Perth Polar Bear Plunge.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
yes, we had some exciting news. There's a little bit of an announcement here, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, yeah. We're so excited that we're going to be the recipients this year from the Polar Bear Plunge. So we're all having fights and disagreements in our office already, but who's going to jump and who's not? So
you mean besides you?
Yeah. Well, every day I change my mind, but I think I'll probably end up doing it. So
You know, this is, I've done so many interviews with the recipients, and you all have the exact same reaction. You're excited, but you're sort of tempered because it's like, yes, we're going to be receiving this. And that means that some of us might have to jump. And you can just tell that it sort of goes down. You know, as someone who's jumped four times, I can tell you it's a terrible experience. It's scary. But once you do it, you feel wonderful. You really do. And I'm really hoping that we can get back to the in-person event this year. Lake 88 has always had a team jumping when it is
That's great.
In-person event. So I plan to jump this year if it's going again. And I'll put it to you this way. You're going in the water. Whether you jump or, you know, you get a subtle nudge. So anyway, I'm just going
to be prepared.
It goes easy. And also the people who are receiving the funds, they always go first. So it's over quick for you. Right. You know, it'll be done before you know it. It will.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, that's wonderful. You know, of course, down at the Legion, they do an incredible job there. The safety is top of mind. It is the most important thing there. And for you folks to be getting it, I think it's certainly well-deserved, and we'll do our best to make sure that that gets promoted as it gets closer, as we do every year on Lake 88. And we also, Terry Lee, have plans to have you back at least a couple more times before the election, because we do want to talk about the need for affordable housing and homelessness, those two issues, which I think are tied very close together. And we look forward to having you as part of that discussion.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Now, once again, just for anybody who is wondering, the coldest night of the year is coming up February 26th. So that's a week from this Saturday. Still plenty of time to get involved. As Maureen was telling us, you can go to the website cnoy.org. And we're going to put up the exact link to get you right to the Lanark event. And then you can either contribute, sign up to help, or you can also just make a donation to any of the teams, as she said. Maureen, thank you so much for being with us today. Very much appreciated.
Thank you, Bob. And I just want to make one more comment about the Polar Bear Plunge. I just want to pledge that CFUW will be there to cheer on our Cornerstone Landing jumpers from the sidelines, fully dressed.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to press that, even though my mother is a member of CFUW, but I'm not going to press that at all. And Terry Lee, I'm sure you're very grateful to hear that the moral support with the pom-poms will be there. If people would like to know more about Cornerstone Landing in general, the best way to do that is?
Yeah. Check out our website at www.cornerstonelanding.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. We have a page and a group there as well. And we have a Twitter account and Instagram as well.
Thank you both so much for doing this today. Really important topic of conversation. And I really felt that both of you expressed its importance so beautifully and eloquently. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Our guests today on In Focus, Cornerstone Landing's Terry Lee Kelford and Maureen Running from the Canadian Federation of University Women. We've been talking about the upcoming Coldest Night of the Year awareness event for youth homelessness. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening and have a wonderful afternoon.